What might have worked for managing people in federal agencies 10 years ago is probably not working so well now. Deloitte's Global Human Capital Trends team focused on the federal government and discovered some important trends. With more on those trends and how you can use them to help your agency, Sean Morris, director of the Federal Human Capital Practice at Deloitte. Sean, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure being here.
All right, so let's get right into these. You say one of the top trends in federal management or federal HR management is organization by design. What is that and what does it mean?
Absolutely. So this year, this was our top trend, one first of 10. Actually, 92% of leaders from around the world, almost 7,000 responses to this year's Global Human Capital Trends Survey, said this was top of the list for them. And what we're really getting at here is leaders, both in HR and at the senior-most levels of an organization, are starting to think about the reorganization or the redesign of their structures. And specifically, rather than the traditional hierarchical organizational structures, they're starting to see the benefits of a much more highly matrixed structure going forward, and specifically of sort of roaming teams or tiger teams. And tiger teams have been there for a long period of time, but typically what's happened in the past is a tiger team has come in, it's been put together, it's come in, it's fixed something, then gone back to their more traditional structure. What we're saying is organizations are starting to look at having roving tiger teams that are sort of more standard in an organization and staying as roving tiger teams to fix specific problems.
And how do you balance that against what organizations in the federal sector always say they need, and that is accountability?
Absolutely. I think the missions of an the federal organizations are only increasing, and therefore the pull of accountability becomes that much more difficult. So a structure that we've all grown up with cannot actually meet the increasing mission demands that we're seeing, and certainly the headcount of our federal organizations is not increasing either. So I actually think it helps with accountability.
This idea of matrix and using management in a matrix mode, isn't that one of those cyclical things that comes around like every 20 years or so?
I don't think so. I think with the dynamic nature of the work environment that we're seeing today, with the demographic upheavals that we're seeing from baby boomers sort of retiring out, Gen Xers starting to take on leadership roles, and millennials expecting to have lots of options, to have lots of different opportunities to learn, it's actually something that I think is here to stay. And I will say, I'm a little biased because it's actually the model we use here at Deloitte, and it's very effective for us.
Plus, we have the Generation Z coming along pretty soon.
Yes, very good. These are with us in approximately 3 years, which I think will be more evolution towards requirements for digital HR, which is one of the talking point, one of the 10 points that we talk about in this article. That need for HR to be an organization that provides tools and applications in the same way that Gen X and Gen Y and now Gen Z expect to be able to use something like an Uber on demand when they need it. And designed around what they need.
So there's a certain implication of self-sufficiency on people's parts and therefore on the team's parts that you say will be forming as needed for different problems.
Yes, absolutely. And with self-sufficiency, particularly from a tactical HR perspective, becomes efficiency for your traditional HR shop. So allowing the employee to take on more of the day-to-day tasks around his or her needs allows the HR professional to then become more of a strategic advisor throughout the talent lifecycle. That takes cost out of the system and actually changes and transforms the way HR organizations look.
We're speaking with Sean Morris, director of the Federal Human Capital Practice at Deloitte. So how can these trends impact something like the Office of Personnel Management and the Senior Executive Service, which are pretty well set in ways that were established 30, 40, 50 years ago in some cases?
It's interesting. OPM's looking at organization by design, for instance. They've been looking at it at the Chico Council layer. And they are starting to look at back office functions on how they share professionals in the procurement field, for instance, more broadly across agencies and departments. So thinking less in the silos of structure and more in the mission or the background that particular person has. So that would be one area. On the SES side of the house, we're absolutely seeing organizations start to think about leadership as a priority. Quite frankly, the pyramid-like structures that we have today are just not producing enough leaders. And so we're starting to see organizations, particularly in commercial, think about leadership much more early on in an individual's career and being more scientific about leadership development. And I think we're starting to see snippets of that in the federal government. And certainly the presidential transition is a forcing function for this year. And recent executive orders that strengthens the senior executive service will be really important going forward. But this is an area where I think the government really needs to concentrate on to continue to evolve.
Because in government, leadership is usually equated with experience. But if someone has leadership, say, put on them at a very young age in their career, it seems to imply that leadership and experience aren't necessarily equivalent.
Well, you know, it depends on the leadership we're talking about. So one of the interesting, unusual trends that we see in the federal government is that senior executive service members, over 90% of them actually come from the department or agency. They grow up in that department or agency. And so they are highly technically proficient in a particular area of that agency's mission. And then they evolve into more of a leadership role where they have to relatively quickly pivot from highly technical proficiency to organizational and leadership proficiency. And sometimes that can be very difficult. And so if you're not layering in that leadership and organizational management and leadership earlier on in an individual's career, it's just challenging when they step up to be the leader.
And let's get to this idea of a digital HR, too. That's something that you are talking about, the analytics of the labor force. What is that all about?
So what we're talking about here is essentially the HR organization starting to think about individuals or employees as almost customers and starting to create applications to help those employees with the day-to-day tactical type things that we traditionally think of in the HR organization. And so you'll start to see a lot more of self-sufficiency in this digital HR area. We're also starting to see HR move into shared services, and we've been seeing that for some time. But again, it allows them to then concentrate on the day-to-day interactions, strategic interactions with the employee, first and foremost. And I would say that HR organizations are sort of one of the last back office organizations to really take on digital. And when you have organizational structures that are so heavily reliant on human beings, the need for them to become digital to drive out cost and increase efficiency becomes really, really important.
All right. Sounds like a brave new world coming. Sean Morris is director of the Federal Human Capital Practice at Deloitte. Thanks so much for sharing that insight.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You can read his report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.